Hey guys, this is Mandy, and if I ever get a YouTube channel, I will not say, welcome back to my channel.
Hi everyone, this is Ollie, and I have recommitted to starting yoga again, so get all the stretchy feelings. And this is the Mandy and Ollie podcast.
You search for guys with the most things. Daddy ran away, left your mama with the keys to the Mustang. Yeah, keys to the Mustang.
So, Mandy, do you not like the intros? Do you think they're played out? Are you just like, okay, we know you're here? Like, what's your reasoning?
I just don't like things that are repetitive. In 2020, I hated hearing now more than ever. I hated that. Or in this time, or just the things that just kept being said. And with YouTube specifically, it's always, welcome back to my channel. And I'm like, there's nothing else that y'all can say.
Yeah, you're right. They typically are like that. I don't know if it's just a robotic thing where it's like, well, everyone does it, so let's do it. Or if it's just, people think that's the only way to intro themselves, but yeah.
I don't know what the reason is. I just feel like I'm in some kind of Groundhog Day time warp when I hear the same thing, especially starting stuff off. I'm like, did I already watch this? What is happening? Why does my life feel like it's in a cycle? And again, like coming out of 2020, mm-hmm. when every day was exactly the same, I need mm-hmm. people to try to have some kind of variance. Like, I'm not trying to live the same day over and over and over again anymore if I can help it.
I'm on board with that sentiment for sure. Yeah. So, are you ready to head into our goal?
I want to ask you a little bit about your yoga. So,
okay.
What is it that you're hoping to get out of yoga? I know you said stretchy stretch.
Yeah.
So you just want to be more flexible?
Yeah. So I feel like I've always been a flexible person. And I just feel like lately it's gotten not a little tense, but I'm starting to feel it more. And to me, it's not so much as, okay, I'm getting older. This is just what it means. To me, it's like, okay, I'm doing these movements that my body is no longer used to doing. So things are starting to tense up and no me gusta. So I was like, okay, this will also kind of slowly get me back, I'm hoping, into my exercise routine. Because typically what I do is like, I'm on track with my exercising, then I slack off or I get busy. I won't even say I slack off. Other things preoccupy my time. Then I see a little jiggle happening and then I just jump in and I just go hard. And eventually after a week and a half or 2 weeks, I hurt myself. And it's kind of like a repetitive cycle. So I'm hoping the yoga will be more of a slow wind or increase up into working out, but also make me more limber when it's time to do the cardio stuff.
Yeah, like stretches are mm-hmm. Important. And mm-hmm. I've never figured out when the exact time is best to stretch, if it's before or after the workout, because that just seems like it's never set in stone when you go to different places or different like instructors. Mm-hmm. They always do like a cool down, but that cool down may not necessarily involve stretches. And I'm like, but they say you need to stretch after you work out because otherwise you'll be sore. But to me, I'm like, I need to stretch before I work out. Otherwise I won't be able to do whatever it is y'all are asking. And yeah, it's a lot to it in my opinion.
So. Yeah. And like yoga is not, also I know I'm saying it'll slowly work me up, but yoga is not some like easy thing. I think people think, meditation, sitting down, trees, mountains, birds, Snow White, yoga. And it's like, no, after like 5 minutes, and I'm not even talking about like hot yoga, because I've done that before too, and I like passed out twice, but the instructor didn't know, because if you pass out, you have to get kicked out of class. And I was in the back and I was against the wall, so they didn't know, but I passed out twice during hot yoga. But even with regular yoga, I find myself sweating and intense, and it's like 10 minutes in. So, yeah, I'm excited to start back.
Okay.
Yeah.
So now, I guess we're talking about goals.
Yeah, what's on your goal update list?
So what did I write down? I've been putting my personal and education goals like in the forefront. Mm-hmm. I believe I said a little bit of this last week, but I formatted my board to have like daily tasks and weekly tasks and monthly tasks and yearly tasks and life changes or goals that I want to make. Mm-hmm. And I was doing pretty good about like getting things done in a day. Now it's more like over the course of a few days. Like if I don't immediately get it done, it's fine, because sometimes it's just like things I can't complete. So for example, with school, I'll say, oh, I want to finish this module today. But realistically, I can't finish a module in one day. That's why they offer it for a week. And it's not like I'm spending an actual 24 hours, even 8 hours on it. I'm spending however much time I have between getting off of work and trying to make sure I eat something and then getting myself together for bed. So it's like I have maybe 3-4 hours to do a whole module that's a week's worth of work. No, realistically, that's not going to happen.
Right.
But, you know, so I'm okay with not completing things in the time frame that I set for myself to complete it, but still making sure that I complete it at some point. And I'm feeling really good about that.
Okay. Do you find that when you schedule these things out, you have better results? Are you better with like last minute procrastination? Like, what's your work style?
I don't really procrastinate anymore.
Okay.
Which is weird to, I guess, even say, because I was never someone that was like, oh, procrastination is bad. It was actually a very natural and easy thing to do. But at this point, it works a lot better for me to plan things out and to write things out, to know what I have going on ahead of time. And then sometimes, you know, I still do the things that I want to do, but I'm not overly stressed out or piled up with, oh, I have to complete all these things now. So it's just like, it's on the board. I see it every day. Mm-hmm. I do as much as I can at any one given time. And then eventually I complete it. So procrastination just, it's not even a thing that's in my mind anymore, because I'm constantly going to the board like, oh yeah, I was supposed to try and do that or whatever.
Okay, that's good. That is visually there for you to see and be reminded.
Yeah. Yeah. What's on your goals list?
I actually have been kind of loosey-goosey this year with my goal list. I've been just trying to take action, so I haven't necessarily written down things that I want to happen. I've just been taking action. Like, I wanted to take a couple of business courses specifically for reselling, so I bought a couple of those. Like I said, I wanted to do yoga stuff, so I've been looking for like these online instructors as well as some YouTube stuff. So I haven't written anything down, which is something that I advise against, because they say you complete 50% more of the things that you actually write down. But I feel like I've just kind of been on the go since the last we spoke, just kind of like on the computer, just trying to get stuff done, just like on the go. So I haven't written down any goals right now. If I had to say off the top of my head what my top goals would be, it would be, like I said, starting yoga, taking these business classes in regards to reseller courses. And I'd say that's it, possibly, right now. Or that's what's at the forefront of my mind.
I mean, that's plenty, especially as we tend to go on a week-by-week basis. Mm-hmm. And still live, you know, your everyday life and do the things you got to do every day.
Right.
Which is a lot of the stuff that I put even on my list. Like, I have to write out, cook today. Because I will very easily just be like, oh, I don't have nothing to eat. And I mean, Ollie knows this. I don't remember if I've said this on the podcast, but I'll go whole days. It'll be like 10 o'clock at night. Did I eat today? Oh if I write down to cook, then that helps me be like, okay, I cooked. The food is here and hot. Then let me make sure I eat it. So, yeah.
Okay. I mean, I feel like that's fair and good, too, because sometimes I do have these daily tasks, and I kind of push them off, especially if they're not written down in front of me. And like you said, that can be cooking, that could be laundry, that could be cleaning the toilet, that could be ordering something, like, that's around the house. But it's like, kind of, if you're in the day-to-day motion of things, those things can be put, those tasks can be put to the wayside. So, yeah, I feel like big task, small task, big fish, little fish, whatever it is, write it down and put it in front of you.
Oh, there's one more thing I want to talk about in goals, as I remember. So one of my goals that could be like for the year, for a lifetime, is improving or just like figuring out like a skincare routine. And I've been, I don't even know if enjoying is the right word, but I've been engaging in that process, been looking at skin routine or like, yeah, routine might be the right word. Skin routine videos, like what do I need to do as a regular routine? What do I need to do to have clear skin? And it's just been interesting to try and engage in this process. For me, a lot of my skin issues come from hair issues, being like ingrowns and just hair growing all over my body in the places that typically femininity, it's not like socially acceptable to have it there. Primarily my face. So, and I like looking at things like extraction videos and stuff like that. So I requested and got from my Secret Santa a wax kit. And I just want to say that I waxed off my eyebrow on Christmas Eve. And this hasn't really grown back, but it's fun to me. I wax my something on my body like at least every 2 days. But particularly my face, because the hair is always growing back. And it hurt, but it hurt so good. And that's all I have to say.
I'm happy to hear that you're like using your Christmas gifts. That's so awesome. And I'm happy to hear that it works. Might work a little too well if your eyebrow hasn't grown back yet.
Well, that's the other thing that's like really annoying. Like, I don't want the hair on my cheeks and on my chin and in the mustache area to grow back, but that grow back with the quickness. Mm-hmm. Meanwhile, my eyebrow still got a gap in it. So, like, it was just born with a gap too. So I'm just like, well, this is my life now, you know? I'm just going to have to continuously draw an eyebrow. And as I think I've said, I watch a lot of like drag stuff too, so I know how to draw an eyebrow when necessary. But my goal is to not have to do as much to my face, because I'll have very clean, clear skin or whatever. So if I gotta draw an eyebrow every day, that's not part of the plan. But we'll see what happens. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, as someone who deals with like random chacne, or it used to be random chacne, but now it's just kind of like here to stay, and I'm a big tweezer person, like tweeze, take it out, but the next day it seems like those same hairs or just adjacent neighbors will pop up, and it's just like, did I not do 10 minutes of tweezing yesterday? Did I not do 15 minutes of picking yesterday? It was just crazy. And when I do the wax stuff, well, I think it's the brand I use, we won't say the brand in case we get a future sponsorship, but the little wax strips I use, you like heat them in between your hands, then you put them on, then you rip it off. And I'm like, y'all aren't getting a lot of hair off of me right now. So honestly, it's me tweezing and doing my best not to break off the hair when I'm trying to pull it. So I don't know. I was thinking about, because you know how you can get your eyebrows threaded? One of my estheticians said that you can also get like your chin and your nose too, your chin, your mustache, your whole face basically can get threaded. And I was like, maybe that's a better alternative. I don't know. So I want to look into something like that. And also, kudos to you for the skincare routine, because it's important. I think people forget that that's the largest organ on our body is our skin. And it's like, even a lot of people are like, oh, face is safe. It's like your feet, your hands, all that good stuff. But especially your face, like first thing the sun hits, the weather, people, it's like it's very forward facing. And it's the first thing that, you know what I mean, kind of gets hit when we go out and about. So I think that's really important.
Thanks.
You're welcome. Okay. Are you ready to move into the safe space?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Let's go.
Would you like to go first, or would you like for me to go first?
I'm good either way. Do you have a preference?
I don't have a preference, but I can go first. Okay, safe space. I feel like this might be less dramatic than the other safe spaces I usually have for you guys, but it's just based on my current life right now. So I mentioned to you all when I played back the episode and realized I never went into that. We started talking about other conversations. Anyways, I mentioned to you all that I was returning to corporate America. And basically, the position that I really, 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 really want is still in limbo. But in the meantime, I had an offer from another company. And so I was honest with them, and I just told them, like, hey, I still have other interviews, and just like I wouldn't want to flake on them, I would never flake on you all. And so the lady, the HR representative, not the lady, was very flexible and was working with me and was like, okay, well, how about we put your start date for January 18th? And then, you know, you just let me know beforehand, you know, if that works or not. I was like, okay, cool. But then when she sent over the offer letter documents, the DocuSign, it said I had to make a decision the week prior. So basically this week, hopefully this goes out this week. And so that kind of left me in a predicament. It was like, okay, do I take this position that's here, that's readily available, that seems fun, that does not pay as much as the other one, like there's a big pay difference, or do I wait for this position that basically like a dream job? And so long story, not so short. I decided to pass on the offer. So I'm just hoping and sometimes praying that I made the right decision, and I'm still waiting to hear back from the other company. So that's where I am right now. I'm trying to keep positive thoughts, like whether it happens or not, and I'm trying to just stay in like a productive place and not stress about it. But I do feel like, okay, I had this opportunity right in my hand and I bypassed it for something that was a potential. So yeah, that's where I'm at right now.
Okay. I guess you're still like in the concern mode where it's like, you're not sure if it was the right decision. You just hope it was the right decision.
Yes, 100%.
Understandable. Makes sense. Decision already made now. Right. So you just gotta live with it. I mean, I definitely get that way. Like, well, I hope it was the right thing to do. But I guess I just kind of, I do things where it's like, once I make that decision, it's the decision I made. And I am someone who overanalyzes things, so I can very easily put myself into a long thought process of being like, I could have done this, I could have done this, I could have done this. Yeah. So I feel like I have to allow myself to do that in the beginning. Like, get all of your pro con list, analytical self, do all that before you make the decision. And then once you make the decision, it's done. You thought of all the reasons why and you came to that conclusion. So you just got to let it be. So
that's what I'm having.
You can ask for my advice, but
I mean, yeah, it's warranted now. I mean, I definitely want your feedback. Otherwise, I wouldn't have brought it up. So yeah, I wouldn't say I'm like pacing back and forth, like, was that the wrong decision? Because like you said, it's made now. And again, it's not my preferred choice. So someone else was talking to me, a couple of people actually were like, well, I know the pay difference was different, but would you have been happy at that place? And I was like, I could be happy at either place, but the place I'm waiting on is the one I really want. And they were like, okay, well, that's it then. If that doesn't pan out, then, you know, you keep searching for another place if that's what you want to do. And I'm like, I know that, and I know that, and I know that, but it's like I had the prize. I had a prize in my hand. It wasn't the prize. It was like third winner's trophy. And it's like, but the first place trophy, it's possible. But it's like, dang, I could have at least been on the podium. And then, you know, you get what I'm saying? I mean, you get what I'm saying.
Yeah. We started going into like prizes and podiums. I was like, I don't know how to equate it to that exactly, but it's like, yeah, it's like you could be in the room where things happen, but that's not even the room you want to be in. It's, so
the room where it happens.
Yep. Hamilton.
Yep.
So.
Yeah. So just like to hear back from them. So if you guys want to send some positive vibes, well wishes, I will be very receptive of those things.
Good vibes.
Preach. So Mandy, what are you bringing into the safe space today?
This is a safe space is about power and ego. And I feel like it was popping up a lot over the last week where I'm like, okay, we got to talk about this. Generally, I feel like I am not someone who is motivated. Okay, let me say this. Everyone has an ego, and I understand that power, having power and using your power or manifesting power or the dynamics of power affect every aspect of life. However, I feel like generally I am not someone who is motivated by power or by ego. And when I see certain things, a lot of the times where people are maneuvering based upon their desire for power or because they don't want their ego to be at a level that they feel like is inferior. Like they're like, I need to preserve my image or whatever. I just be like, ooh, humility. Like it's so necessary. Example being the malarkey that happened last week. But then I found myself in a situation in work where I felt my ego popping up, and I was had to calm myself to be like, it's not that serious. And it really wasn't. It was so simple. And I just basically I had sent an email saying this is basically saying a decision I had to make for something, and I'm like, this is we no longer need you to provide this thing, blah blah blah. And then a separate party who would be the person getting the thing, but I've already said we don't need this specific person to provide the thing. Not to say that they don't need the thing. We don't need this specific person to provide the thing. Mm-hmm. They were like, emailed them back with me on the email, but was like, no, I need the thing. I just said, I just told them, we no longer need that thing from you. I felt like it was very clear. The party understood, we no longer need your services. We're getting the services from somewhere else. Because mm-hmm. honestly, they were doing us a favor in providing those services. They were never supposed to be providing those services. Mm-hmm. But at some point, these two parties, I'm supposed to be the middleman. These two parties start communicating. And fortunately, I was CC'd on the email, but it's like, I'm the person, I'm the go-between for y'all. Mm-hmm. And y'all have been trying to go between without me, but at this point, I'm the one that has to make the decision. And I said, we no longer need this, so why are you going to them being like, no, I still need it. I said what I said. And with me just, like, you know, working remotely and when folks are like trying to send those strongly worded emails to be like, per my last email, I don't like to do that. I'm not a per my last email person. I don't even like to do a bunch of like formal clapbackery. I just like to make it simple to be like, here's the information that you need. Because to me, at the end of the day, it's just important about getting done what we need done. But when someone just like overtly tries to go over my head in a way that I'm like, but you can't. It's not going to get you what you want. So that happened yesterday. And then it happened again today after I gave all of the clarification necessary. And I was just like, what don't you understand? And it just made me feel like, do I now have to assert my power to prove a point? But that's not something that I want to do. That's something that a lot of people desire to do. They can't wait to get power, to boost their ego, to show whomever they feel like is beneath them or whomever hurt their feelings that one time or whatever. Like, I can't wait to have the opportunity to come and assert my power. Folks want to assert their power against strangers. Like, folks just feel the need to be like, power, because my ego said so. And I'm like, I don't like that. So I just wanted to talk about like power and ego. And it came up again after I'd wrote it down to talk about on the podcast, but it came up again where a friend and I yesterday were talking about Grey's Anatomy, and he basically said how he doesn't like Christina Yang, which to me was just like, what? Everybody loves Christina Yang. But I heard him out, and he was basically just like, he didn't use these exact words, but it was basically, she has an ego and she doesn't really care about anyone else's feelings or what they have going on. She's just all driven and focused on what she has going on and surgery, and she's not a compassionate person or a generally like kind person. He said she's honest. She's the most honest character on the show, but she's just not a nice person. And it's driven because she had like is so focused on the power she feels from being a surgeon and her ego and wanting to be the best. And so I asked him, well, what do you think of Derek Shepherd? And he admitted they are the same in that. And that he doesn't necessarily like Derek Shepherd either. But with Derek Shepherd being a white man, he accepted it because it's like, that's how white men are. Like, it wasn't maybe a turnoff, as much of a turnoff, because it was like, that's the standard. And with Christina, it's like so stark from maybe the expectation of a minority woman to be so much of that power and ego-driven thing. And so, again, it made me observe to be like, okay, I don't like the idea of people who are power-hungry and ego-driven, but I like Christina Yang. So, and I myself had an incident where it's like, I wanted to assert my power and my ego was bruised. So, are there, like, situations and circumstances where being power-driven and ego-minded, are there times when those are good things? So yeah, I feel like I gave enough of a background for you to speak to it.
I do feel like, so first of all, I thought this is a great discussion topic. That's number one. Second of all, I do feel like there are times when ego and power are positive things. Like, they need to be present, and specifically when it comes to leadership. If we have coworkers, friends, or whatever fighting, and we have someone maybe who can set their ego aside or has a big ego, or maybe says, you know what, I'm the leader of this group, or I'm the mama bear of this group, or I'm the wrangler of this group, whatever it is, let me try to dead the situation, or let me try to mediate. So I feel like in those kinds of situations, I'm fine with someone having an ego or taking on a leadership role. Specifically for Christina Yang, I mean, like, you're a monster if you don't love Christina. So I don't know who you're talking to, even though I know who you're talking to. So I feel like this person needs to continue to watch the development of Christina, but I can understand the beginning why you might feel that way. But something else that I was thinking about yesterday in regards to myself and other people kind of like in my circle was that I personally kind of want to allow the people that I know to be themselves more, which means taking off expectations of how I think they should behave or will behave or whatever that is, because it puts me in a situation of, you know, I feel this way about this person because of how they're acting or whatever. So specifically, and I'm bringing this all back. So for Christina, yes, she's driven and she is very focused on bettering herself, and she's focused on being the best surgeon and being a leader. And honestly, that can be taken as selfish, but also, why doesn't she have a right to do that? Why doesn't she have a right to, she has a right to do what she wants. So if that's focusing on herself, maybe being a lackluster friend, maybe not being there emotionally for everyone else, you know, except for Gray, then like, what's wrong with that? Because we cannot all have the same personality. We cannot all be the same cookie cutter type of people. And it's kind of like, you need evil to match with good. You need light to match with darkness. Like, you need conflict so that we can figure out and understand resolution. So those are the ideas that I've been toying with. I also do think I'd be remiss if I said, yeah, it's okay to expect a white man to be ego and power driven, but not expect the same for a minority woman, because it's kind of like you're giving grace to one thing that you're used to seeing and not doing it to something else because it's new to you. And I don't necessarily think that's fair, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Well, the thing with Christina, and I guess I feel that way about a lot of people who, I mean, not as much with Christina, but I do feel that way somewhat with Christina, but a lot of times with people who are driven by ego and power, yeah, is that even if they are in a leadership position, they are not really intending to lead. Like, a lot of those people pursue or desire a leadership position because of the power it'll give them, not because they're like, how do I guide people to be better, or how do I lead people for what is best for everyone? It's like, no, how do I lead people for what is best for me?
Right. I can understand that too, because like you said, with power, like with different titles come power, but that doesn't mean that I'm trying to reinvest into my team or be a leader. It could just be that I'm seeking out titles and power and money and bettering myself, not everyone as a whole collective.
Yeah. And a good example with Christina with that was when everyone was going after Chief Resident, and Christina was going after Chief Resident because in her mind that meant I'm the best resident. Mm-hmm. And if I remember correctly, it ended up going to Kepner, but it went to Kepner because it was like she was the best at doing all the tasks of the job that the person thought was necessary, like the paperwork and scheduling and all that stuff, and not the popularity contest, which everyone thought Meredith would get, or the being the best surgeon that Christina thought it would be. It's just like, sometimes being a leader isn't just about marking a bunch of things off to say like, I did this, 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 and I'm great, and that's why I should be the leader.
Right. Rounding back to your situation, I do feel like I am definitely the person who, or and maybe that shows I have an ego or something like that, but I'm definitely the, per my email, blah, 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 but that's not but, because that erases. I'm definitely the per my email person, because usually in those situations, I was in an administrative function and people would look at me as if, oh, she's just the help. But honestly, like, I'm the gatekeeper. I'm the go-between. I'm the person that's going to put you in contact with the CEO, the president, the owner, blah, 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 because they come to me. They ask me my opinion. I'm handling their schedules. I'm handling their business finances. Like, I'm handling all that stuff. So when someone tries to belittle me, that is when I'm like, per this email, or I said this, or here's a reference, here's a screenshot, mainly to defend myself as feeling like, no, I am a vital role in this company, but also to say like, you're not about to like blame something on me because I'm in administration, or like, oh, I sent it to Ollie, she didn't tell you, or that's not what I said. And I'm like, it is what you said here in Article 5 of the document. So it's honestly, part of it for me would be covering my butt. I do understand what you're saying about not wanting to maybe get professionally snarky. I don't understand the situation. If you provided clarity twice as to why the other person feels like they can go around you as the contact, you're the connect. So that's kind of odd to me. So yeah,
I feel like that person was just, they knew what they wanted and they weren't even like paying attention to what I was saying because they were only looking at the key details of, well, I want this and this person's been giving me this. So why would you tell them not to give me this anymore?
Okay. You know what I mean? Misunderstood because they were so focused on their own goal.
Yeah.
Okay.
And that's where I wanted to like, again, be like, humble myself. Because in theory,
you do have to humble yourself because they're not paying attention.
I wanted to humble myself because I felt like my ego was telling me I need to assert my power. And the reality is I always had the power. I'm the go-between. I'm the person that is handling the situation. And the person providing the service has already heard me say, you will no longer be providing that service. So it didn't matter that the other person was asking for it. I had already made the decision. Okay. And me asserting any more level of power literally would just be for my ego. So okay. I just tried to find the best way to explain this again, to say like, no, here's the information that you need. I want to make sure that you understand it, so that you don't continuously ask for something that you're not going to get.
Okay.
As opposed to, I said what I said. Sorry, what was your question?
I'm sorry, I said, did they eventually come to an understanding?
They did. I believe so, at least today. We'll see what happens tomorrow. But I believe they came to an understanding. But it definitely made me just look at the current situation, and always with politics, like, I'm a firm believer. I don't really like the system of like how Congress is set up, and honestly, like the Supreme Court, like in executive or just judicial positions. In executive positions, there's always a certain term level that is permissible.
Right.
And probably because it's one person having so much levels of power that they're like, oh, we can't let them have this forever. But then with on the legislative side and on the judicial side, they'd be like, oh, you can have this power for as long as you want. And of course, and in every level of government, people are constantly being like, well, I have to assert all the power that I have to prove that I have it. And it's like, this is how I don't like that it becomes a power struggle as opposed to a task-oriented process, or just like a, what's it called when you get a goal? Like when you succeed at something?
Achievement?
We'll go with that. I don't know if that's the word I was thinking about. But yeah, an achievement level process. Like, we're here to achieve something. And like, to me, that's how I feel more accomplished. Not that I have power, but that I have an end product to show. Like, look, guys, we did this. As opposed to, look at how big and strong and powerful I am. Like, I'm not trying to be Jafar. I'm not going to rub the lamp so that I can become the
most cosmic something being.
I wanted to go through all of the levels, because first he wanted to be Sultan, and then he wanted to be the most powerful sorcerer, and then he was like, I gotta be a genie because that's where all the power is. And it's like, is that really gonna make you happy, or is that really going to get you to the end result that you desire? What is your end result? Like, what's the point? And the shenanigans of last week was all ego and power driven. And then I'm like, and then what? Like, for lack of a better word, and then what? Yeah. At this point, the country is in chaos. Mm-hmm. But even if that person stayed in power or seized power, commandeer power, as they were trying to do, then what?
Right.
You would only have it for another 4 years anyway.
Right. But you know what? I feel like that would have set a foundation of, we don't have to go through checks and balances and processes because
facts.
This is what happened when we overthrew this. So it would have just set off a domino effect. The things that already happened, I feel like, legally, you know what I mean? But just, oh, we can walk up in here, take it over, and that's just that. Like, yeah, that would have stood, then it would have been bad. I am with you on, like, yeah, let me see your deliverables. Let me see what your team accomplished. Let me see what you as a leader were able to do, were able to change, where you needed help, where, you know, maybe you didn't do as well this year as you did last year. Like, let me see your results. And you just being like, well, you know, I'm just the leader. I'm the manager. I'm the this, I'm the that. You just giving me a title is not doing anything for me. But something else you said kind of like flipped a switch in my head where you were like, is it going to make you happy? And I'm like, I think some people, the drive for power is, I was about to say delicious.
It's like an endorphin. Yes. Like it gives them a high.
Yes. Like that gives them a high. It reminds me of like bullies when they're like attacking people and stuff. And it's just like, do you get off on this? Like, are you like, it kind of gives me that energy. So I don't know. I don't feel like, I don't know. Unless somebody has some like come to heaven moment, I don't foresee like people who are so power hungry and power driven just like having a flip switch in their head and them being like, you know what? I think I'm going to stop now. Yeah.
I feel like it's definitely a thing that I more so ask because even though I had that moment this week, I really genuinely don't understand it. I don't feel like there's very many things or anything where I'm like, I want to be able to show my power, where it's like some people show their power through sexuality. Some people show their power through the amount of weaponry they have. Some people show their power by how smart they think they are. Some people show their power by how fast they think they are. Like the drive and the need to be the best, I genuinely have never understood. I just like to be good. I like to do good work. I don't need a pat on the back to be like, even to hear a great job, but to hear like, great job, you were the best of everyone. Like usually when someone's like, great job, I'd be like, okay, let me not look them in the eye because this is uncomfortable.
Right.
Like, you usually thank me for something I was supposed to do anyway, so this is awkward.
Yeah, I can understand that.
And I guess it makes sense to me, like, to either speak with someone that I feel like holds power and is maybe what they call them, alpha type or whatever.
Yeah.
That is like constantly like that. Like, who are there alpha types that I admire that I can have a conversation with to be like, what makes you feel like this is the way you either naturally are or this is the way that you want to be? Why is that? Because that's something that I don't understand, but I know that there are things about you that I admire and appreciate. So I want to understand it from the perspective of someone that I don't hate. because
like, I don't feel like you hate anyone.
Well, you know, there's that one person that you used to date that I used to say I really, really, really like, that was the only person I ever used to say that I hated. And now I don't even hate him anymore because we're so far removed from that situation. Right. You haven't been with them for years right. upon years upon years. So it's like, oh, I have no reason to hate him anymore. I hope he's, you know, doing well in life or whatever.
Really? You want me to tell you how you're feeling?
No, I do not. Okay. Are you surprised that I would want him to be doing well in life?
I guess I am. Yeah, I don't really know how he's doing. I haven't been in contact with him, but
okay.
I am surprised that you're wishing him well, as opposed to just being neutral about it.
Yeah. Okay, that makes sense. I was like, I would never wish misfortune upon you. A pox on you in your house. What they say in Shakespeare? Or, oh, better yet, I'm Mulan. Write this down. Dishonor. Dishonor on you. Dishonor on your cow.
I thought you were going at first. Dishonor. You ready?
Yep, let's get out of here. Let's go into the meat and potatoes. Yum, yum, yum.
Okay. So, for meat and potatoes, keeping up with my possible return to corporate America theme, I wanted to give you all some tips and tricks when it comes to interviewing. Ollie, what do you know about interviewing? As someone who has collectively, I kid you not, within the last 3 years, been on at least 50 in-person and virtual interviews, I think I know a thing or two. So, number one, I would say present the best professional version of yourself. And by that, I mean be yourself, but make sure you have all the maybe the crazy, the silly, the loony things kind of like nipped and tucked, at least for your interviews. You know what I mean? Like they're going to get to know you and you will get to know them as the role progresses. That's number one. Number two, this is not a one-way interview. Keep in mind that you are also interviewing the representative you're speaking with. You're interviewing the company culture, you know, how they treat their employees. So don't think it's just, oh man, I have to get this job. Also remember that you are a catch. You are a candidate. You made it to the interview process. So don't sell yourself short as being someone who deserves to be on the team. Number three, there's something called the STAR method. And I know the acronym, but I can't remember it. But basically, it's kind of like situation, I think task, S-T-A, something and something, results is the last one, something like that. But basically, you know, you get the regular, well, what did you used to do? And what's your background and stuff like that? But it's important to prepare for the harder questions. So not just like a what would you do situation where it's like, you have an angry customer come in, what would you do? It's important to think about the tell me a time when question. So that's mainly the STAR method, where it's like, tell me a time when you didn't agree with your boss and what was the result. Tell me a time when you felt most proud of an accomplishment at work. Tell me a time when blah, 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 blah. So I think overall what I'm trying to say for step three is that be prepared. For this interview that I had with this company I told y'all I really, really, really want, I was looking up articles, I was reading techniques, looking at videos, I kid you not, for at least 4 hours. I've never done that before for any other place. I've clearly looked at like questions I might be asked for interviews, that type of stuff, but I've never done this much research on how to present my best self. So that's what I wanted to contribute for my meat and potatoes.
I, in the past the year, was also doing a lot of interviews and I probably didn't learn nothing from it. So I appreciate that. I mean, I am honestly just being honest. Like I didn't take anything like, what do I need to learn from the fact that I thought this interview went well, or I engaged with this company and I probably know I didn't want to do it, but I'm still just looking for a job out here, blah, 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 blah. Like, I don't know that I learned anything for if the next time comes that I may have to interview. So I appreciate that you're sharing that. Cause for me, I'm just like, I don't know when the right company come along. I guess they'll say yes and I'll say yes. Thank you. Thanks for teaching us something, Ollie. Because even we need to be able to access it when it's time for us to use it when we need it. And we're like, oh snap, I didn't take any notes, even though I was in the class the whole time. Where's Ollie's notes? That's how it feels.
You're so funny. You did remind me of something else though. I guess a bonus or a PS is that, say you don't get a position and you're really interested, you're really interactive, you thought you did really well, don't be afraid to reach out to HR or the recruiter or whomever your third party was and say, hey, I was really interested in this role. Could you tell me what I could have done better? Could you tell me what they were looking for that I didn't bring? So that way you kind of have a reference as to what to say or how to market yourself during your next interview. yeah.
All those things make sense. All those things are really, really good things.
Yay. Thank you. What is on your plate? What we eating, Mandy? What we eating, Mandy? Yum, yum.
For my meat and potato, all I wrote was, I have lost sense of time. Whether it's within this last year, these last 4 years, these last 10 years, I just get really, really confused when I'm like, wait, that was the same time as this other thing? This thing feels like it was 8 years ago. This thing feels like it was this year. This year feels like it was 20 years. What? So, yeah, I've just lost all sense of time. And I guess I was wondering if anyone else feels like that.
For sure. I see a lot of people joking about it, but since everyone is collectively joking about it, I don't realize that this is, I don't think everyone realizes, like what you said, this is actually happening. Where like, I'm on the phone with people and they're like, sometimes on the Monday, and I'm like, today is Wednesday. Wednesday? No, it's not. Yes, it is. Or something the 17th. Today is the 13th. No, it's not. Yes, it is. What? So it's kind of creepy to me because I have been having this happen with everyone I've spoken to. No one knows what day it is. No one can tell me what date it is. They just know that we're in a new year. And I think it's kind of creepy.
Yeah. Or even just like things that have already happened that there is a time marker for. And I'm just like, you're telling me that that day or that year was the same year as this other thing? Yeah. No, there's no possible way. Like, I don't associate those two things as being from the same timeline. It's like I'm living in an alternate timeline.
Yeah.
A la Community style. And it's like, my alternate timeline self is like, no, that happened this, when this happened, and this happened when that happened. Or like Umbrella Academy, where it's like, it don't matter when you bounce around, the world is going to end. You've either made the world end in the 60s, or you made the world end in the 2000s, or you're making the world end 10 years from now, but the world going to end. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I've just lost all sense of time.
Do you feel like it's doing anything for you? Like, is it driving you to make special dates? Like, okay, well, let me have something to look forward to. So on this date, this, I'm going to do this, or let me count down this, or let me be aware. Or is it just kind of like you're just letting things melt together and you're just going with it?
I don't know that I understood what you just said, but I'm just living my life, I guess.
Okay, I mean, that's fine too. So what I was saying was, does it concern you to the point where you're like, okay, let me say, I don't know, I'm going to hang out with a friend January 20th, so that way I can be more aware of the days and the times and have something to look forward to? Or are you just like, the days will come and go as they come and go?
I guess the latter, because, yeah, I'm not making any specific markers for any specific days. Especially, I just plan to stay my behind in the house, and that's it. So every day is, even though I hate the repetitiveness of it, and the only way I know what day it is, I may not know what date it is, but I know what day it is based upon now with being in school, when things are due, and what TV shows I watch. Yeah, that's it. That's how I know what day it is.
Oh my goodness. You still seem to have a grasp on it more than, like I said, the people that I've spoken with. They don't seem as concerned as me, though. They're just like, I don't even know what day it is. And I'm like, none of us know what day it is. Like, who's checking to make sure it's actually the day it's supposed to be?
Right. Does nobody care that it feels like we've all gotten that flash thing from Men in Black and we've just lost a good amount of chunk of time in our lives? Nobody knows what's going on. But yeah, I don't know.
You ready to move out of meat and potatoes?
Yep. Yep.
Okie dokie. Drum roll.
Slow drum roll. Bop, bop, bop. Bop, bop, bop.
Okay. My underappreciated award is going to people who do not look two celebrities to be their couple goals. I think it's really important that we as homo sapiens humans, people of the earth, understand that people outside of yourself, I was about to say outside of your tax bracket and all that good stuff, but it has nothing to do with that. You are you. And comparing your relationship to people you see on television and magazines and your electronic devices, social media, and stuff like that is not something that is healthy and is not something that is realistic. And this can be like non-celebrity to celebrity, celebrity to celebrity, non-celebrity to non-celebrity, whatever you want to use the colon as. It's important to understand that who you are is not the same as who these other people are. So there's this popular actor. Oh, I meant to send you condolences. There's this popular actor who got in a relationship with this other person who doesn't do anything but possibly adopt the last name of her stepdaddy. And so now everyone's like, couple goals, he's doing it right. That's what you're supposed to do in your 20s, yada, yada, yada. And I'm just like, I don't understand how you have time to be worried about the, I don't even say sexcapades, but the misadventures of this person and then try to compare it to your own situation. Like, come on, you guys. Like, come, like, we've been in the whole clarity, woke, this is what real is, like, timeline for a while now, unless some of y'all hopped off. I don't know. But I feel like for the last at least 3 to 4 years, we've all been like, okay, smoke and mirrors, that's what this is. And I feel like people, again, are allowing themselves to get lost in the smoke and mirrors. So shout out to you all who are just like, okay, that's over there. I'm worried about what's over here.
I just find it so funny that you were like, I meant to send you condolences.
I did. I forgot. I've been so busy.
I'm doing okay. I'm all right. Thank you. Okay. I appreciate that. It didn't bother me too much because typically when I have a crush on a celebrity, it is for their personality or things about them that I'm just like, this seems like an interesting person. Mm-hmm. That person is all about their looks. I can't even lie. It's just like, he looked like a scrumdiddlyumptious bar and I just want to eat him up. And so the fact that he got with someone that in theory everyone also looks at as being a scrumdiddlyumptious bar, I'm like, them just two scrumdiddlyumptious people that look good together and probably belong together, because I actually don't know if I like his personality or not, if he and I would get along. I might find that he's really annoying. Is someone who's power and ego driven and would actually drive me crazy. So, yeah, he is just the exception to a standard that I have where it's like, I like this person because of so many things and they happen to be attractive. And he's just like, no, he's just attractive and I don't care about anything else. And I'm not afraid to admit that. So I'm okay with him finding love. And that's on that.
Okay, so who's receiving your underappreciated award for today?
Two people are getting my underappreciated awards.
Okay.
They are Aaliyah Sheffield and Pops, and their Instagram ads are Nikki Aaliyah, which is NikkiAaliah, and Official Tony Green 777. That's Pops's. And they're getting my underappreciated award because they made some really popping music that is scouring the internet, but I feel like enough people aren't calling them out by name and giving them their 2 cents. So I'm just going to sing the songs for you, and okay. I'm sure everyone will know what it is, because like I said, it's all over the internet. So Aaliyah wrote the song Earth Is Ghetto, I Wanna Leave. So I wanted to make sure she got her her props, mm-hmm. and Pops sings the song "I Need My Stimulus Check," yeah, and that is available on all streaming platforms and iTunes and all that stuff. So make sure that you support Pops and his son, and go listen to "I Need My Stimulus Check," yeah. And if at some point I find out that Aaliyah puts out "Earth Is Ghetto," I will also promote that to make sure that she gets all her coins.
Nice. Shout out to them. I have seen celebrities who reposted it, crediting them, like in a tag. So yeah, shout out to them. Okay. Would you like to tell the listeners where they can find us?
Yep. You can find us on Instagram and Twitter at MNO Podcast, where you can slide in our DMs or comment on all of our pictures or add us on your story so people know about us. You can also send us your questions, comments, and concerns at mandyandollie@gmail.com. Please be sure to like and subscribe to the podcast, mm-hmm. And rate that thing wherever mm-hmm. you listen so that you know when we drop a new episode.
Mm-hmm. It was good talking to y'all. Bye.
Bye. Bye.